Who were the members in this cooperation?
Originally? I don't just remember a couple of names, but the, it was all the merchants in Chinatown, in New Chinatown, my brother.
That time, they did they put the money in, or they just designed the New Chinatown?
Well, when that thing was formed, it was just a matter of pulling together some companies. It was sort of loosely formed originally. My father in charge of getting the land, lining up the contractors. The problem with most of the merchants, everyone spoke Chinese.
So the cooperation still exists?
Yes. Because the mix in Chinatown
were there many new members coming in every year?
No, not that many. They were shareholders and they're not that many. There are a few. Mostly it's passed on. One generation to another.
Bye.
Bye.
So all the shareholders just pass on to
it
the...
It seems, and then some of them sell to others, but that's what's them. There was about 73, 75 shareholders in the corporation. Not all very active.
In terms of capital, how big is it?
They don't have much capital in the corporation itself. They own three pieces of property. Rental fund. They own that parking lot adjacent to the 76 station, college, and hill. And right now we're trying to put up a office structure and garage combination. Mm-hmm. And we're having a devil of a time trying to get the finances. Build up a parking structure and office. All kinds of problems.
Would you think that there are more problems now than the old days? It's easier in the old days to get things together.
I don't know why it is. It's, maybe it's because they're working hard. But they don't seem to be cut and dry. Now there's always different things to consider. Or maybe it's because I'm involved in it. I'm sure my father-in-law today, he tried to get a phone call for that type. You need that type of individual.
So
a valuable piece of property, a parking lot that should be developed to get the most money. Just not use that.
And in the old days, was this cooperation getting any support from General Wei Guan or any family association?
I imagine there was. My dad was out in meetings two or three times a week, going to these different organizations. So I'm sure that's important.
Yeah, and also in the old days, you say that your father is very active in Zhonghua Huibao. Did he ever hold any
office? Yeah, I'm sure he did. I don't know, but I'm sure he did. There again, I went to a few meetings just to sit as a kid, and I couldn't understand what was going on, so just could not be aware of what was going on.
And the other family association, your father did that?
That's about it, it's probably not.
How about your grandparents? Do you know they would go to the Chinatown activities?
No. On my father's side, no. Because my grandfather's side died early. My grandfather was young, so he didn't participate. And as far as my mother's parents, the only extent of their activity was within their own home. To Chinatown, maybe to Chinatown, maybe.
Did they shop in Chinatown?
Yeah. My mother did a lot of shopping for the family, for her friends. I guess she was the eldest of the family, so she had certain responsibility driving her father around. Which I guess was typical. It was the eldest member of the family.
But mostly it was the elder son rather than.
Yeah, well, yeah. However, the impression I got was particularly transportable for her father.
Was that typical in the old days, most Chinese women drive?
I don't think so. I don't know. But I know she did.
Do your uncle, her brother, drive?
Well, yeah, they would drive in those days, but I don't know what age.
I see. So, what kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
During the Depression? On my mother's side, one uncle sold tea. The times were so tough, he'd hop a bus on Beverly Hills, put tea, Chinese tea in a basket, packages of tea, insects. So, one uncle was a janitor, actually, in an apartment. And the other uncle was a one that worked at the National Dollar Store, Chinese department store downtown. And they all worked a lot of menial jobs just to make ends meet.
Were they highly educated? Or
yeah. I see, on my mother's side, like I said, my mother went to SC. Her sister went to SC.
During the Depression years, they couldn't find.
During the Depression, as soon as the Depression hit, they had to abandon. My two uncles had to abandon their education. what they did during the Depression. I know one was right in the Depression. Bad way to move away.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing is a hairdresser.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the Chinese, your family were affected by the Depression?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
But the herbalist?
The herbalist, my grandfather, he continued to practice. Well, let's see, wait, he passed away in 1931. So I don't know if the Depression felt that badly then as it did after he passed away, because after he passed away, then I had to during the Depression.
And like your grandfather, your father's life, was he affected, you know, his job?
Well, no, his business was not affected. It's still there. I don't know what kind of business he did with it.
Which were the most important families in Los Angeles?
There again, like I said, I thought the Suhus were, and I thought my mother's side too.
Leon family.
Yeah. Those are the only two I can think of.
So what would you think the average income in the pre-war period for Chinese?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But
really every
know.
Family kind of earned enough to support the whole family?
Yeah, in spite of the problems, I think they made out all right. There wasn't any lavish income, but they seemed to do all right. But then Chinese always seem to do all right.
Did they manage to save some money?
Yeah, I guess so. I lived comfortably. I didn't live without anything that I didn't want.
What do you think most Chinese do with their money, which they save?
At that time?
At that time. They put it in the bank, or they put it in the family associations, or?
I think they put it in the bank, what little they could save.
Did your family ever send money back to China?
No, we had no reason to, that I know of. No.
But, earlier you mentioned that your father and your mother were very active during the war, too, in terms of raising funds.
Yeah, my father, through the Department of Water and Power, sold war bonds and stamps in Chinatown. He opened up a booth to sell these war bonds. Evidently sold quite a bit. My mother, I don't know what my mother did toward the war effort directly, but my father was very active.
Did they have to go to the stores, to store, to sell the bonds?
No, no. They solicited through people that came up in the streets, you know, and in those days Chinatown was very busy at night, every night. Soldiers, sailors, everybody. It's not like today, tonight, now, where you go down Chinatown at night, it's empty, the streets are empty, but in the old days it was crowded, it really was crowded. The weekends were packed, you know, people walking in and out.
Both Americans and Chinese?
Both, mostly Americans. That's another thing with problem with Chinatown. Trying to build up more tourist trade, but people can't find a place to park for one thing. And I guess they're scared to come down and because of security. Security is good as it used to be.
Do you know who were the people buying the bonds?
Oh no, just visitors to Chinatown.
How about the merchants in Chinatown? Did they participate?
I imagine they did, but I don't know for sure. It was just a very natural thing in those days to buy bonds and to buy stamps, you know, because it was just the thing to do. So it wasn't difficult to sell, it was just a matter of finding a place where you had the most traffic and just sell it.
Where did most Chinese meet the Chinese men meet their wives?
You
my
your folks?
Knowledge, yeah.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
From what you heard before, most
well, as far as my uncles and aunts were concerned, it was the dances, and house parties, church. Those are the three main places. And school. So I could think of.
Did any of your family went back to China and married? Get married?
No.
Any of your friends or your family friends did that?
Not that I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Were American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons rather than daughters?
Yeah, I think
parents?
It's ingrained within people. I know my first three kids were daughters, and we had one more, and I figured I was going to be the last one way or the other. And we had a son on the fourth. Our fourth child was a son. So yeah, I guess it's ingrained in it. Although, you look back, it really doesn't make much difference. Now, not to me, anyway.
What did most people think of interracial marriage?
Taboo. In fact, I still think that in a way. But however, my daughter, my oldest daughter, is married to a Jewish boy, and the two daughters you saw here are going to Caucasian. So, you know, you just adjust. I still would like to see them, you know, have a Chinese husband or a Chinese boyfriend, just to get the feel of whether this would be suitable for them. Their selections of the strictly Caucasian.
Was that because they didn't have a choice? Their school, they didn't have many.
Well,
Chinese.
They're Chinese. There's Chinese where they've been, and I tried bringing my kids up, bringing them to church every Sunday, Chinese church, but it didn't work out. So something I can't control. It's a new lifestyle.
Would you think in the old days it's even?
No, it wasn't even. That was. You better not even think about it, I guess, although it was done. My aunt, on my mother's side, married a Swedish person, and that was in the middle of the 30s. It was complete chaos in my mother's family for a while, until we got to know them, and, you know, after we got to know them, it was fine.
So your grandfather...
Well, my grandfather wasn't alive at the time, but my grandmother was on my mother's side.
So the reaction was...
Well, I think she adjusted it to it quite well after the initial shock. Because my aunt met this person in Chicago. And in the long run, it didn't make any difference one way or the other. They were happy.
So to most Chinese, that would be shock anyway.
Yeah, it was.
In old days.
In those days. Mm-hmm. Nothing to it nowadays.
So, like when you were around, you know, going to college or something, your parents ever kind of...
No, they didn't have to, because I met my wife when we had this shop in Chinatown. I was still in my teens. So, it just looked like I was going to marry her, which I did.
So they didn't have to
No,
tell
there was no problem.
Did the many parents feel it was important for their children to go to Chinese school to learn the language?
Yeah, I guess so. I was more embarrassed by the fact that I didn't speak it because my friends all spoke it and all went to Chinese school. So I felt sort of left out because I wasn't capable of speaking at that level. So
most of your friends had approximately how many years of the Chinese
Well, they've
education?
Had quite a bit. They graduated from Chinese school, whatever grade level that was, the sixth grade or seventh grade or whatever it was. Well, these are all my friends I met in high school. And all those friends were going to Chinese school at the time.
So after public school, American school, and
yeah, they went
they
over
went
to Chinese school. Yeah.
For certain hours, so many hours.
Right. I felt left out, which I was.
And your sister never had a chance?
No, not at all. It was even worse for her.
She didn't even have the chance to have children?
No, she didn't. My parents never got her into children.
Would you ever think about have your children go to Chinese school?
I sent two of them, the two girls you saw, and my boy, who's asleep right now. They went to Chinese school over in the neighborhood here. And they didn't learn anything except, well, the daughter that drove away last learned the most, and yet she still doesn't know enough. So. But they went for a couple of years. And just we went every Saturday. We took them to the neighborhood school. And they went every Saturday.
Why did the Chinese parents think it's important?
Well, you know, heritage. It's something I guess all of us feel we should know, but unfortunately, not all of us do.
Did many people hope to return to China, especially in the old days?
My grandmother did. She used to tell me that's where she wanted to go. Probably wanted to die there, but that didn't happen either. They had very strong desires to go back because they kept telling my grandmother used to tell me how beautiful it was, and I assume it was.
And did any of your uncle or aunt thinking about going back?
Not at that time, but in the last couple of years I've got, my aunt May just came back from China just a month ago. I had one uncle that was, during the war, was stationed in Peking, so. But I did not have relatives go back.
So, how about your friends? Any of your friends' parents went back to China to settle?
No. My friends have gone back, some of them.
Right.
And yeah, to Hong Kong, but and I don't know of any whose parents went back to settle down.
What did you or other Chinese think of the way Chinese were portrayed in American movies?
When I was young, it never bothered me, and it still doesn't really bother me. There's so much distortion anyway, no matter what minority group or what group you're in. It doesn't bother me.
So, may I ask back what kind of job you did before?
Now or before?
From beginning.
Well, actually, when I got out of college, I graduated in advertising and marketing. Got into water and power.
Yes.
I got into water and power in market research, which is a little bit beyond me because I'm not figure oriented. And finally got into sales promotion, which is more along my line. But the only problem with water and power now is that we don't promote electricity, so there is no sales promotion section per se. So now we're concentrating on conservation. My job is directed toward that. We try to teach the customers how to conserve electricity. And my function is to work with the trade associations that are affiliated with water and power, and also trying to help them develop literature that goes out to the public. But it's a far cry from sales promotion, which I feel more comfortable with. times have changed there too. So in the 20 years.
Did you feel that you were treated differently when you worked there?
No, I think I've gone as far as I have gone because my ability. In fact, that I haven't gone further is because of what I myself am not able to do. I don't think that people like that necessarily. If I had the talent to go further ahead, I would have gone ahead. I would have had a good shot. I don't blame anyone for that except myself.
Primarily. Mm-hmm. Did you get along very well with the other?
Oh, yeah. No problem. Very well. The only people I sometimes don't get along with are other minority groups who have problems of their own. I have very few problems.
As a minority, did your father ever say that he had difficult time either at work or trying to deal with
the only
patient?
Difficult times he had was trying to get a job again, because he was a great deal of got it. I don't know. Well, he was very intelligent. You know, scored well tests, things like that. So, there was no problem because he was intelligent. But I don't think he had any problems either. He had a problem with his boss, but then that was personal. I don't think it had anything to do much with race.
Did your family ever run into a difficult property, especially
yeah.
Your mother.
Well,
side.
We did here in this area. My dad bought this lot, I think, in 1937. This whole area in Silver Lake was restricted, but they forgot to put a restriction on this street, this Castle Street here. And so he spotted it and bought two pieces of property, this one and one next door for his brother. That was the only thing available in this area because of the restrictions. But they had a lot of restrictions. And when he was going to college, the fact that you're Oriental, you couldn't join the band, the USC band. So they had many problems.
So a lot of restriction even at school, being an Oriental,
mm-hmm.
You cannot join certain clubs.
Right. Uh-huh.
Did you run into that
no.
kind of?
No, I was in two organizations without any problems. I was in the advertising fraternity and I was formed a marketing organization when I was there. And there was no problem. Things have changed thanks to the older generation paving the way for that's the way I feel. And I guess there's still these prejudices, but certainly not like it was before. Yeah, close the door. I'm freezing
okay.
to death.
Oh.
At a certain level, you know, you buy an empty lot and then you go.
Well, the lot was empty.
You go to a house or somebody else did.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
This house, we bought the lot in 37. It was $700 and we could hardly afford it, I guess. For one piece of property, $750 for the other. And nothing was done. My dad never really got to enjoy this piece of property, but he passed away. We built this house in 1952. We had Gilbert Malone, an architect, design this house. And the house alone cost, without the property, at that time, $21,500. We thought it was high, but you can't come close. And then when I got more kids, we put two more rooms on it, so we brought up the square footage.
How about the house next door? Did you build it with that?
No. My aunt just moved in 76. And it was a Chinese contractor, Lyle Lowe. He put it up. There was just some specifications on plans that he had. Fit it to the lot. was the thing to do, really, to have an architect do your house. And at the time that we were building, it was the only way we could get what you wanted. And this house is unique because, like I said, actually it's a duplex. And one of these days, I'm going to seal off this center portion. Because there's two kitchens, there's one here and there's one back. There's two bedrooms on this side, three bedrooms on this side.